Greetings, everyone. It's another week and another episode of the podcast. Sometimes I interview strangers, sometimes I interview dear friends. And this week's guest, Jeff Miller, is a dear friend who I met when he was just a teenager. In the years that have elapsed, Jeff's had many adventures, and I've kind of just been watching from the sidelines as he gallivants around this world on his bike. So it was with great delight that I discovered that he's become somewhat of an amateur filmmaker, and he's chronicling little bits of his travels right now in Latin America. You'll find a link to his YouTube channel, Slow Road South, in the episode show notes, as well as on the treasures page of the website. I can't even tell you how fun it is to realize that someone that I knew when they were young is doing such great work, hopefully changing the hearts and minds of people all over the world. We talk about his YouTube channel, we talk about a few miracles that he's had along the way, and really, it was just incredible to be back in contact with him. And honestly, I was a bit nervous about emailing him and asking him to be on the podcast, but he replied right away and said, absolutely. So Jeff found the time in the middle of another grand adventure to talk with me and share a little bit about how his travels and his meeting of strangers has changed his life. And so with that, here's another episode of the podcast.
I mean, you know, first of all, if you're looking for inspiration, I recommend riding a bicycle at night. Things come through. But yeah, it was just this overwhelming feeling that just, you know, there was some lightning off in the distance. It was purple. So the sky is kind of lighting up in patches and, you know, I met two people on that route from Kansas to Oregon that had, ridden Latin America. And so I think that was kind of percolating in my head of like, well, if these guys could do it, I could do it. You know, it suddenly became like tangible and not just like, oh, that's beyond me. It's like, I know people who have done it. Yeah. And you know, I'm riding and yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, I didn't hear like a voice come down from the sky, but yeah, it was just this feeling that filled me with very specific, I don't know, words or a message or something that, no, you can, and you need to. And even if you fail, like the important thing is to really give this a try. I mean, I think first off, since I began traveling, instances of finding magic in my life have exponentially increased. You know, I realized that I was thinking about this, and I just realized it's like, oh, when I started to get out there, that's when all of this started to really pick up. You know, when you're kind of getting out of your normal routine and having to, you know, just have a certain amount of faith every day that, you know, you're going to figure out where to stay, where to find food, where to find water, good people, support, you know, any of that. And I think the most dramatic example of it that came up was, I went on one trip in the United States, and then I was riding my bike from Kansas to the North Shore of Oregon. And when I was in Boulder, Colorado, I met a woman, and, you know, we were kind of sweet on each other, and we were palling around for a few days while I was in town. And when I got to Montana, we got back in touch. Hey, let's meet up. You know, she had some vacation time, and let's meet up in Eastern Colorado. So she's going to come out to Eastern Colorado. I'm riding my bicycle with a fella I'd met on the road. Very cool guy named Ajumal. And normally I do not ride my bicycle at night. Traffic, they can't see you. You know, accidents happen at night, right? So normally I would not do that. But because we had a fixed deadline to reach this town to meet her by that time, I had to ride at night one night. And so I'm just riding out on this, you know, empty highway approaching Eastern Oregon. So I suppose I was in, I forget, Idaho or Montana or one of those. And so, okay, some backstory. Ever since I was 11 years old, I had the idea that I wanted to learn Spanish, ride my bicycle, travel on my bicycle through Latin America. I just wanted to do that. Somehow I identified that dream and I put it off for a long time. And then I started to ride my bicycle and through the United States, but oh, Latin America would be too much and dangerous. But that night, you know, people talk about hearing a message. That doesn't really happen to me, but it happened that night. I was out riding at night and I'm pedaling as fast as I can down this highway, trying to reach the next town so we can find a place to camp. And it just came through just as clear as day. Like, no, you got to do this. You have to. Like, if you don't take a crack at this, at this dream of riding your bike across Latin America, you're really giving up something, you know, in your life. You know, here you are, you're pretty young. You don't have major, you know, responsibility. You don't have a family. You speak Spanish. You know, you can give this a shot and you need to do that. And it just came together. And that was in 2018. And, you know, we're in year six of working on that project. And it's kind of become the axis around which everything else revolves. And it's not been without frustrations and setbacks, difficulty, obviously. I mean, it's not any different than normal life, but I've been really glad to have that kind of guiding light of like, this is your project and it's important that you prioritize this. And it's important that you do the things you need to do to keep your body and your mind prepared to make that happen. And I've never had a message just come through so clearly. And yeah, so I would consider that a moment of magic that inspired me and continues to. But you know, magic comes in many, many shapes and sizes. I mean, I'd say I first traveled to Latin America when I was 19. I lived in Costa Rica for about a year and a half. And that's where my Spanish first started to deepen. And in that time, I met a Mexican fella who invited me to spend some time in Mexico City with him. So I went and spent time in Mexico City. We got to be friends. I came back to Mexico City later after he was dating a woman who he would eventually marry. And as is the case for many residents of Mexico City, her family was from the countryside and they had migrated to the city in the late 60s, early 70s. And for New Year's, we went out to the family of her relatives that still lived in that countryside area. And that changed everything, because that was the first time when I really saw non-urban, non-tourist Latin America. You know, this is still a small farming town where everything kind of works. I mean, you know, the people are trading dollars and cents, but things a lot more function on an exchange economy. And this baptism was a big event because you use the baptism of a baby in your family as a pretext to throw a 3-day feast party. I mean, bandstand and music and serving, I mean, hundreds of meals, and the whole town comes through and people are bringing, you know, giving you turkeys to slaughter and prepare, and rabbits, and you know, all the ladies in the community come around and they're cooking these meals. I had just never seen food like this. You know, you grew up in the United States and you eat your Tex-Mex, but here we are on the countryside and they're brewing up, you know, black mole, you know, in these clay pots, you know, I mean, as people have been doing for a long time out there. And, you know, mole is something that I think, you know, usually has about 33, 34 ingredients that require very specific preparation and a lot of work. And only makes sense if you're making food for 200 people, because, you know, you're not going to go through all that trouble to serve a family of three. And so seeing that food in its context within an older style of an economy, and just the kind of, I mean, like I say, just the magic of how they've passed that tradition, you know, it is women that are doing the cooking out there. That's still the case, you know, from, you know, mother to daughter and onward and maintaining that tradition. And you eat that food and it just, I mean, there's a reason that Mexican cuisine is like UNESCO World Heritage Site. I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, it just lights you up. It does backflips across your tongue. It's just, and to know that, you know, that came from just this little, you know, adobe house in the middle of the countryside with ingredients from right around there, and that people have just been enjoying and savoring that magic for generations. That's a very special thing. So I would say that as well. And then going on to see that food tradition all throughout Latin America and seeing that this is not something that you can go to a restaurant and order. Like, it has to come from the context of the family and the religion and the the time of year, and you know, it's completely contingent on that place and that family. That's so cool. You can't, you know, Google review that. You know, it's something older, and you know, when you grow up in the Midwest or surrounded by strip malls and, you know, Chili's and Denny's, you know, you don't see that. You don't see what that was, and that's how we used to eat, and it's amazing.
And that's it, my conversation with my dear friend Jeff, who I hope is blessed with meeting many more strangers who are as equally enchanting as the ones he's already met. I'm having such a positive response to the changes I've been making, my new podcast cover, my headshots, I'm starting a YouTube channel. It's just a good time in my life to hopefully be bringing a little beauty into the world. With that being said, please know that I'm all too human and I'm recording this in my closet. And I wish you all could see me scrambling in on my hands and knees, sitting on a case of honey, and recording the outro to this podcast. There's nothing glamorous or graceful about it. And let me just tell you, it keeps the humility high. With that, I want to thank Jeff Miller for being such a cool dude. Such a great friend, and for telling me his beautiful and gracious stories of meeting strangers, the food on the road, and sharing what he believes is precious in this world. Hint, partly it includes food, and partly it's other human beings, among other things like purple-colored lightning. I also need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode. Sasha End, thank you so much. Complete attribution will be in the episode show notes. You know what else is going to be in those show notes? A link to Jeff's YouTube channel, Slow Road South. His episode that we talk about, where he interviews the gentleman who is so excited to be a part of the process, has 59,000 views. You go, Jeff. I'm only hoping for greater and greater success. And I'm a fan of platforms that bring people together and allow us to meet each other in safe spaces. And that's what this podcast is all about. And remember, I'm always looking for ratings and always looking for reviews. So please, please do consider leaving one or writing one or whatever that looks like. It helps people find me and makes my world a little bit shinier. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Jeff. Believe in adventure. Believe in strangers. You never know what kind of grace and beauty a stranger is going to bring into your life. And I did give a sermon on this before I left Santa Fe about how sometimes I'm in the checkout line and someone turns to me and starts talking to me. And I just think, oh my God, please, I don't have the energy. Please don't talk to me. But then I have to step back and think, you know what, Kirsten, this person potentially has something gorgeous to say and you're going to miss it because you're lazy or you're just feeling like you're having a bad day or whatever. It's tough to stay in that place of acceptance and openness, but I'm trying to cultivate that now and be more mindful about it. And so, you know, that's what Jeff does. He's on the road. He's looking for adventure. He's looking to meet strangers and tell their beautiful stories. And you never know in your life what is going to be the next amazing adventure with a complete stranger, whether it's a conversation or exchanging books or sharing a cup of coffee in line, who knows? So be like Jeff, be open to the experience, be open to what life brings you. You never know when that meeting with a stranger, well, it might change your life. And that's it. I'll see you next week for the next week of the podcast. And until then, I hope your week is filled with enchanting encounters with incredible strangers. Now I just gotta crawl out of this closet and produce the podcast.